Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 11. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There you go. Yeah, great. I love that one. Anyway, what a blessing it is to study the word of the Lord indeed. For any masterpiece, there must be a first stroke of the pen or a key, a first note played, or a first dab of paint upon the canvas. But in that first, there is great power. Last week, we left Paul and his companions, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, having just stepped foot in Macedonia. And G. Campbell Morgan, he describes the immensity of this event. He writes, "How little the world knows of the divine movements. Rome had small idea that day that the van of the army of its ultimate conqueror had taken possession of one of its frontal defenses. On the day when Paul hurried from Neapolis over the 8 miles up to Philippi, and came into the city and made arrangements for his own lodging, the flag was planted in a frontier colony of Rome, which eventually was to make necessary the lowering of her flag and the change of the world's history." So insignificant an event, and yet the power of the gospel is such that it can change the world, starting with one person believing in Jesus. The first. And in our passage today, we see that that one person is Lydia. Paul faithfully explained to her the good news about Jesus, and she heard and she believed, and from there the world was changed forever. But what if Paul had not gone down to that riverbank that Sunday morning, or rather for them the Sabbath morning, which is Saturday, but that morning? Well, who knows but God? And providentially, we see in Paul's faithfulness a principle. It is to share the gospel with people regardless of who they are and what the circumstances are, and let God take it from there. Every Christian is called to be faithful according to this principle. And yet there are so many things that try to get in our way of the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It can be any number of outside influences, including social boundaries, pressure from government, peers, society, business, or just ourselves, really, just are getting in the way of ourselves and being obedient. Regardless, we are called to be faithful and to share the gospel. And we're supposed to cross whatever boundaries that the world might seek to thrust in our way. Besides, like we saw last week, as we followed the missionaries from Antioch to Troas and then to Philippi, well, we saw that the Lord himself opens and closes doors along the way, and he opens doors that might be impossible for us to open so that we can enter. He leads the way, and we are called to follow his lead. So take a look at verse 13 there. "And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and we spoke to the women who had come together." Now, you might wonder why Paul went to the river looking for people. Well, his normal pattern when he came into a new town, of course, was to go into the synagogue and there to seek a chance to proclaim the gospel and then move out from the synagogue. Well, there was no synagogue there in Philippi. It took 10 heads of Jewish households, men, to establish the synagogue. And the Jewish population was so sparse there in Philippi that one had not yet been established. Now, a little on Philippi. Philippi was a place that most of us with military backgrounds would have found very comfortable. And due to historic events in the Roman Empire, Philippi had become a Roman colony directly under the emperor. In fact, Roman soldiers were encouraged to retire there, and they were exempt from taxes. I would find that a real good deal, you know. Yeah. So what we have here is a town full of military retirees and Roman Gentiles loyal to the emperor. And now here's Paul. Here he is, a Jewish Pharisee converted to Christ and called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And he shows up seeking to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And however, as I mentioned, there was no significant Jewish presence there in Philippi, no synagogue. So his normal methods of how he went about doing things was completely stymied. So he had to figure out another way. You know, yet despite that barrier being closed with no synagogue, you know, that was a closed door there for him. Well, the Lord opened the door to Macedonia, and Paul knew this. So he was seeking that open door. He was looking for it. And as a Jew, Paul knew that the custom of the Jews, along with God-fearing Gentiles, was that when there was no synagogue available, that on the Sabbath, their custom was to go and meet near a body of water, a river in this case, in order to pray and worship. And so following the Lord's lead, Paul and his companions, they went out to look for people, particularly any Jews or God-fearers, to whom they might proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they took a walk down the Ganges River, which was about a mile outside of the city gates. Now, when Paul and his group got there, did they find a bunch of devout men with their families meeting together by the riverbank with whom he could begin his proclamation? Is that what he found? No, not at all. That is not what he found. Rather, he found a group of women. A group of women. And we don't know how many. It just doesn't tell us, but likely there wasn't very many, but it was enough to be a group. And here was another possible barrier for Paul, a closed door to the proclamation of the gospel. Well, why? I mean, today we wouldn't think anything of it, but back then it was something. There was a serious social problem with Paul, a Jewish man, and particularly a Pharisee, coming up to a group of women and establishing a conversation. In his pre-conversion thing, such a thing just absolutely would not have happened. The circles and the customs he was surrounded with held a woman's status as being quite low. Indeed, a known prayer of the Pharisees was this: God, I thank you that I am not a Gentile or a slave or a woman. You know, the Pharisees really were a piece of work. I mean, good grief. But anyway, yet due to the Lord's grace, Paul had left such nonsense behind. And thus we find Paul in our passage today seated beside the Ganges River, having a meaningful conversation about the good news of Jesus Christ with a group of women. And Paul was also following the Lord's example, if you remember from John chapter 4, when he spoke to the woman at the well. And because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, prejudice between sex, race, or socioeconomic status had been done away with. A mixed gender, male and female, a mixed race, Jew and Gentile, conversation was not a problem for Paul, as it was not a problem for the Lord Jesus. The Lord had blown through former barriers, providing a tremendous opportunity here. And it was as Paul had originally or previously, because Galatians came before this verse, written in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all, are all one in Christ Jesus. And so here he acted upon this truth. And with the door wide open for the proclamation of the gospel, Paul went right on through. And so there they were. Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke coming upon this group of ladies worshiping on the side of the river. And they stopped and they joined in their worship. And perhaps the ladies, when they got there, were singing or praying at the time. We don't know. We do know, however, that at some point the ladies invited Paul, who was the evident leader of this group of visitors, to their group, who had gathered with them. They invited him to say a word. And jumping at the chance, and ever faithful, Paul explained to them the good news of Jesus Christ. This was monumental. Monumental. This was the first gospel proclamation to people in Europe, proclaiming this to a small group of ladies. Now take, you know, ladies, it's amazing what you can do just from your women's Bible study. You know, it's kind of like what they had going on. And from there, the gospel spread to all of Europe. All of Europe. Take a look at verse 14. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Now, we know nothing at all of any of the other women who were there other than Lydia. Lydia, this Gentile woman, she heard Paul's pronouncement and was drawn to the words. She was drawn to the truth, the freedom that is in Jesus Christ. She understood the wonder of the gospel that Paul was explaining as the Spirit quickened her heart to believe. And how Lydia initially became a worshiper of God, as the ESV puts it, well, we don't really know. However, it is clear that Lydia already had a belief in God from a Jewish point of view, what was called a God-fearer, and consistent with many Gentiles who were God-fearers, as one man explained, she was behaving like a Jew without actually becoming one. And this is why she, a Gentile woman, was at the riverbank worshiping like a Jewish woman. And perhaps, as another posits, since her hometown of Thyatira had an extensive Jewish community, and she had first come to her faith in God there. And so when she moved to Philippi, she brought her faith with her. Who knows, considering the way things go, eventually with her, maybe she was the one that was actually leading the worship there on the riverbank that day. I'd say that actually is a good chance of that. So you may remember how Cornelius, whose conversation is recorded, or rather his conversion is recorded in chapter 10, was likewise a Gentile God-fearer who needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ so that he might be saved. So the Lord himself sent Peter to tell him the message, and Cornelius believed. Now with Cornelius, what had once been an impassable barrier, that Jewish-Gentile divide, what once had been an impassable barrier was blown wide open by God for Peter to pass through to proclaim the gospel. And here with Lydia, that same door was blown wide open for the apostle Paul, with the additional benefit that Lydia was a woman. Lydia heard what Paul had to say. She heard it and was glad. And Tim Keller explains a little bit of the dynamics that were going on there with her life and the beauty that the gospel had for her. He says this, God-fearers left the emptiness of paganism. Yet when they came into religion, they came into the Old Testament, and they started saying, we have to live according to the law of God. And they felt the burden. So here are Lydia and the God-fearers. On the one hand, they're trying to leave the emptiness of living for yourself. But then, when they come into religion, they feel the burdensomeness of having to save themselves through their good works. And now, here was Lydia, caught between emptiness and burden, hearing about the freedom and the fullness of life in Jesus Christ. As Keller puts it, Paul said, let me tell you something. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life according to the law, the only one who ever did. And then he went to the cross and died for our sins. So he earned the blessing perfect obedience deserves, but then he took the curse disobedience to the law deserves. So when you believe in him, the curse for your disobedience falls on him. That means his blessing he earned for his obedience falls to you, and you're saved by grace. The wonderful freedom that the gospel message conveys, freedom in Christ, was beautiful for Lydia. God had broken down even another barrier, that of her sinful heart, opening her heart to the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing her to saving faith. And hearing the call to follow Jesus, she laid her burden down. And as the Lord calls, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. And so she followed Jesus. As for Paul, despite the inconvenience of having to change his missionary strategy and so moving outside of his comfort zone, despite the seeming barriers and customs concerning social, racial, and gender relationships, despite the barriers of a sinful heart, Paul pressed forward, following the Lord's lead, letting the Lord blow through every barrier. And thus he found himself having a conversation with Lydia, a brand new disciple of Christ, saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And we are told several things about Lydia in the text. She was from Thyatira, and she was an immigrant to Philippi from a location across the Aegean Sea. She was also a businesswoman. She was a merchant who sold purple cloth, and purple was associated with royalty, and it was a very lucrative trade. She was very successful at her trade, evidenced by her substantial household and property, verse 15, which would have included servants and family. And so, as for her personal quality, she was a remarkable woman. Lydia was intelligent, savvy, responsible, wealthy, and a cosmopolitan. Verse 15 tells us a little bit more. And after she was baptized in her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Well, having believed, the immediate next step for her was to be baptized, consistent with the practice of the apostles and the command of Jesus. Now, notice here that there's no wait time. And I've always wondered, and I have my theories, why it takes so long for people to get baptized when they believe these days. Y'all ever notice that? It can take a long time sometimes for folks. But the consistent biblical model is to do it ASAP, as soon as possible. And anyway, we also see that since Lydia was the head of her household, her entire household was baptized with her, just like with Cornelius and his entire household. Everyone was baptized, man, woman, and child, whether they personally confessed Christ or not. Now think on that for a little while. As it was, Lydia believed, and her loyalty, her allegiance, and all of those for whom she was responsible, men, women, and children, were committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even more, Lydia invited the four missionaries to come stay at her house. Notice she urged them, and she prevailed upon them. She was persistent, and her strong personality was showing. I can imagine it. Imagine this conversation. I know you know ladies like this. God bless them. Now, don't give me any excuses. You're all going to come and stay at my house. Don't argue with me. Paul, don't argue with me. It's the least I can do. Young man, Timothy, is that it? Timothy, gather up these gentlemen's stuff and y'all come with me. I can hear it. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you can too. And you know what? What are they going to say? Okay. So they followed her on over to her house. And for her, this was a way that she could demonstrate to these missionaries that she had truly converted. She was exercising hospitality, which must have been a spiritual gift for her. And talk about not waiting around to use one's spiritual gift. She jumped right on it. Anyway, I'm sure that this time, the time that they spent there in her house, turned out to be a great time of discussion and teaching, fellowshipping, and breaking bread and communion with one another in the Lord. And later, we'll see she continued to exercise the spiritual gift in Acts chapter 16, verse 40. Her house had become a gathering place for the Christians in Philippi. Now think about this. This remarkable woman's home had become the first church in Europe. The first church in Europe. And Jesus' command to us, Jesus' command to his disciples and the Great Commissions was this: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And Paul's faithfulness, his faithfulness to this commission of the Lord, led him to this beautiful situation with Lydia. Now, what possible Lydias are out there that you come into contact with every day? Now, perhaps you have been faithful and you've shared Christ with them, and praise God if that is so. But if not, what boundaries keep you from obeying Christ in this area and sharing the gospel with those who need to hear it? I mean, some boundaries that might come to mind might be, well, various selfish interests or perhaps personal hang-ups. Definitely, though, there is the pressure of others to keep our mouths shut about Jesus. Now, do we let these and other pressures keep us from being obedient to the Lord's command? Do we? Are any of your friends unbelievers? Ask yourself, do you know anybody? Do you have friends that are unbelievers? Have you shared the gospel with them? Have you shared the good news of Jesus Christ with them? If you do? Well, you know, don't you, that if they're not believers, then they are separated from God with hell looming over them. You do know that, right? And so how are your friend if you do not tell them about Jesus so that they might be saved? And perhaps you have told them. Perhaps you have told them time and time again. And you pray for them and you're doing your duty there. And praise God for your faithfulness if that is so. And may he open their hearts to Christ so that they might receive that salvation, that free gift of salvation in Christ, and find freedom in him. May he open their hearts. But if you have not shared the gospel with them, why is it so difficult to do so? I mean, what barriers do you face in obeying God in this? I mean, are these barriers valid reasons to not be obedient to Jesus? I mean, what do you consider a valid reason to disobey Christ? There are none. There are none. Now, you know, nearly all of the apostles were killed because of their faithfulness to the Lord in sharing the gospel with others. Yet even the threat of death was no barrier for them. The reality is that any authority, politically correct pressure, peer pressure, or whatever leads you not to share Christ is not a real barrier to sharing the gospel. It is only a barrier if you let it be, or of course they physically somehow stop you. Now, at the heart of this is Christ's demand that those who would follow him deny themselves and take up their cross and actually follow him. Mark 8:34. So the only real power, any supposed barrier, it has over us is found in this. It's the preservation of self. That's the only barrier. It's a choice. It is a choice to refuse to deny oneself and to follow Jesus, or a choice to deny oneself and follow Jesus. Christ's command trumps all human commands and the pressures of the world around us. It trumps our own discomfort and social and cultural boundaries. Christ's command also trumps any laws that might be passed by the government to hinder the proclamation of his gospel. Christ is king, and he rules over all. Anyone or any organization that would counter his command is in rebellion against him. His command trumps all others. The scriptures are absolutely clear on this fact. And a method perhaps to use when potential barriers present themselves against sharing the gospel might be to, well, think of Paul. Ask yourself, what would the apostle Paul do? Everybody, remember that fad that went along, what would Jesus do? Well, here's one. What would Paul do? What would Paul do? Think about this. From what we know about him, Paul would forge right ahead, and he would tell people about Jesus regardless of the personal sacrifice that it took to do so. We know that for a fact because that was his life. That's what he did. He'd also be smart about his methods. I mean, as we continue to go along, we'll see how he handled different situations in sharing the gospel. He was smart about his methods, like Jesus says, wise as a serpent and innocent as a dove, Matthew 10:16. And so we find a model of obedience in Paul. And also remember, it's not by our power. Our power is not going to save anybody. It's not by our power that the proclamation of the gospel is even effectual. It is the power of God working in the heart and mind of the hearer of the gospel that brings a person to belief in salvation in Jesus Christ, like what happened here with Lydia there in verse 14. We are simply called to be obedient. And Luke's account of Lydia's conversion, well, I see it as an encouragement to us as we seek to be faithful to the Lord. Ladies, the first convert in Europe was a woman, and the first church in Europe was in her house. I mean, what does this tell you? What does this tell you? I mean, it tells me that the Lord uses faithful women as a powerful force in his kingdom. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. But Lydia would not have been that force if someone, in her case, Paul, had not been faithful to the Lord's command to go and make disciples, following the Lord's lead as the Lord blasted down every barrier that stood in the way. And if you're a disciple of Christ, you are called to do this, to tell people the good news about Jesus Christ. And because the gospel is the power of God to salvation for all who believe, we must faithfully proclaim the good news.